2554 and 2555 actually both relate to, pretrial release. And these were bills that were from the Oregon Jail Overcrowding Project. There are some proposed amendments, and I'd just like to ask, if I could, for someone from Jail Overcrowding Project, and Judge Beatty, if you'd like to come up, see if we can figure out where we're going on these. Anybody else you want to?
Chairman, for the record, I'm Bob Watson, the staff of the Jail Overcrowding Project. We submitted amendments to House Bill 2554, dated April 2, today, responding to issues raised by the Criminal Justice Council about what was an appropriate approach to pretrial release guidelines. As you recall, the original bill had asked the council to develop rules and adopt these rules and bring them to the legislature for making them permanent. And instead, we have made revisions. Instead of a matrix, we're talking about developing standards, and instead of validated risk factors, we're talking about just factors, because of the concerns raised by the council, whether or not data was available, whether or not this could actually be done under the current circumstances. So the bill, as amended, asks the council to study the question and to report back to the next session of the legislature if legislation is needed, but it's not necessary if the judicial department, by administrative action, can implement their proposals prior to that time. So I think we've reached agreement with the council generally on the best approach to this question of pretrial release.
Judge Beatty, I know you had on the previous hearing made a personal comment on this. The council had not had an opportunity to meet on it. What
yes. Can you give some I'm Jack Beatty, Vice Chair of the Criminal Justice Council. The council has considered this, and in their position is consistent with the one I articulated earlier. For the committee, we have submitted amendments drafted by Legislative Council dated 2554-1, and we had previously communicated these to in substance to Mr. Watson, and their amendments, their approach is essentially similar to ours. There are certain differences which you should be aware of. The first one is that we made ours applicable to magistrates as well as release officers. Now, it is my understanding from what the Jail Overcrowding Project personnel say that, in effect, they intend their this process to be applicable only prior to the time of arraignment, which involves a relatively short period of time and probably a relatively limited number of people. Our bill is, or our amendments, make that broader and make it applicable to magistrates, because it's our thinking that we ought to have the same rule for magistrates as we have for release officers and vice versa. And you might as well deal with standards across the board as well as just standards for the between arrest and arraignment. I think that is probably the only significant difference. We made provision for taking into consideration in applying the different types of restraint whether it appeared to be probable that the individual would engage in criminal conduct during the period of release, which is a little broader than their approach, which is violent criminal conduct, but which also includes burglary, which is the chief other major criminal conduct that isn't picked up by violent criminal conduct and really adversely affects people. Matter of judgment, which way you want to go on that. I think the real only question, if the committee is inclined to take the approach, which appears to be a sound one because it lets the judicial department work this thing out if it wishes to do so, the only real question left for the committee is to decide whether you want to make it applicable to magistrates or whether you want to limit it solely to pretrial release officers who function under the authority of the court anyway.
This is just a more general question because something came up here earlier. The individual who's picked up, we hear the revolving door question, people coming, going in and going out, being released on their own recognizance. Does this affect that in any way? This doesn't affect that kind of situation anyway. There's no way to get somebody in front of a magistrate on a charge rather than, I'm thinking specifically because in Multnomah County occasionally I hear of people, drug busts, that sort of thing, where they're released back out.
This kind of legislation is not going to particularly affect that, except it might hold one or two more people under those circumstances. But the bill, as in either case, is intended to create standards, some kind of statewide standards, and our draft sets forth the circumstances under which those standards can be waived, or a judge or a release officer can go outside, particularly a judge can go outside those standards. It being our feeling that almost inevitably any uniform standards that are drafted are going to be stricter than a number of jails can apply, and therefore it will be essential for a presiding judge to make findings and justify in an orderly way a change to comply with the situation they have locally.
Mr. Watson, you said that you thought there was accommodation between the groups. Is that to say that the proposed amendments, you have proposed amendments dated April 2nd, the amendments that are in legislative council form are different, I gather, but only in that one area of the...
Yes.
They differ only on the question of the magistrate.
Yes, and we worked right up till almost the time of the hearing with our group to see if there was could reach total agreement, and we could not. There were some who wanted to remain only to the pre-arraignment. The majority wanted to remain with only the pre-arraignment issues.
The policy question for the committee here is the one which whether we want to adopt the amendments which would, under the Jail Recruiting Project, would be the pretrial arrangement, and then under the council's recommendations would extend that to the magistrates also. Discussion on that issue? Those of you who have been in DA's offices might be able to give us your viewpoints on that, obviously, right? Are you still reading the amendments?
Mr. Chairman, magistrate, of course, picks up all judges, both JPs all the way up through circuit judges.
Mr. Watson, what's the argument of your group on that matter again?
Well, there was two lines of discussion with a group on the phone today. One had to do with this whole question of are we venturing off into preventive detention with the additional language of engaging in detaining and not releasing individuals who we think in the future might engage in some kind of criminal conduct, whether it's felonious criminal conduct as the council proposes or violent criminal conduct as we're proposing. And with the amendments, it becomes a factor to be considered, which apparently deals with that. But nevertheless, all of the discussion of the Jail Overcrowding Project had to do with discretion of the release officers that we were advocating in another bill be statewide and 24 hours a day. We felt that the most appropriate use of the discretion to be delegated would be just to that pre-arraignment time and let the current statutory and constitutional issues govern magistrates from the time of arraignment forward. And that was discussed, and that was a line of discussion, and the preference was to not broaden it to all felonies and not to extend it to govern courts.
Okay. Is there any question or discussion on this? We have the proposed amendments. There, one of them is LC form, and the other ones were prepared by OJOP.
May I ask, I guess if I understand, the Criminal Justice Council and Judge Bader are the proponents for including the language magistrate. Is that likely to arouse the concern of our friends who sit on the district or circuit court bench in terms of limiting? Would they see this as somehow limiting their discretion? I'm just not sure if they would have any reaction at this point or if there's any way to gauge that.
I don't contemplate that it would, because I don't see this as a real limitation. I see this as a method of coordinating it so that you've got essentially the same approach statewide. We know, these decisions are made every day in all, whatever they are, 26 different judicial districts. But they're different in different judicial districts, and I think the jail project indicates this is so. We know that it's so, because each district is accommodating to its own problems and its own critical space shortages and a number of them. But it makes sense to develop uniform standards statewide, provided that you build in a mechanism for adjusting them to the realities of each locality. And the way this bill is structured in either form, at the present, with either set of amendments, this is something the council will develop, make available to the judicial department. We'll have, in the process of developing it, I think we will discuss it thoroughly with them. And then if it makes sense to the judicial department, I think undoubtedly that it would be entered as an administrative order, which would resolve the question, and they don't have to accept it verbatim in any way. They can pick and choose what they want. Council, under its mandate, reserves the right, if it feels that it isn't substantially the same, to go ahead and submit legislation, as we are free to do on many subjects.
Okay, well, Mr. Chair, if you're ready to proceed with amendments, I would move the amendments, which I believe we have before us, which are the Jail Overcrowding Project amendments bearing the date April 2nd, 1987. And I would further move as part of that.
Oh, go ahead.
That we include the terminology which would extend this also to magistrates as proposed.
Before I accept that motion, I believe that language, please, Mayor.
Sure.
You're saying on the question of including magistrates, then that's the motion, that's the point that the council is coming from, and that is included in legislative form draft.
It is.
Which also includes, I don't know if you have, maybe you didn't get that. I think that's the motion you want to make. Move those amendments to include, which includes magistrates.
I would so move the amendments LC 2554-1 bearing the date April 2nd, 1987.
Okay. Representative Springer moves to amend House Bill 2554 to include the amendments contained in House Bill 2554-1, which is LC 310. And just to make sure again, that includes the magistrate's question.
Yes. I would just want to make one comment, Mr. Chairman. That does also include all felonious conduct, which we think will add to jail crowding. That's why we've limited it in our proposal to the violent criminal only. So. We just want to make sure you're aware of that.
We would have no objection to, if you wish to restrict it to the language, the jail overcrowding language.
I would like to include that. I accept that as a friendly amendment, if I may, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Okay. Then maybe the motion you may try to make in the first place was the correct one, and I apologize. But, okay, then Is that understood? What we're doing is combining basically these two amendments to include magistrates, but to restrict it to the violence, which is found, that portion of it is found in the Jail Overcrowding Project amendments under there. That would be on page 2 of their amendments. Sub 4, is that correct?
Yes.
So that, do you understand where we're going with that? We get that. Does everyone else understand that? The motion is made. Are there any objections to the amendments? If not, that's so ordered. And Chair will entertain a motion on the bill.
I'd move it as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Springer moves House Bill 2554 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk, want to call the roll?
Bellman?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Springer?
Aye.
Aye. Sorry, Judge, do you have a comment?
It does have some fiscal impact.
Yes.
Okay.
That's here, and we'll have to deal with it in the full committee.
Yeah.
Thank you. Why don't you stay here, gentlemen, for 2555. I believe you're, I don't know if you're both involved with that one.
That's the one.
That's the Uniform Security Release Schedule.
Chairman, if I may, Bob Watson of the Jail Overcrowding Project. On House Bill 2555, in discussion with the Criminal Justice Council, we'd original version had the council developing and taking actions that would implement in the revisions before you now in proposed amendments to this bill dated March 24. We've removed the council from this, had some conversation today with the Chief Justice, who has agreed that this is an appropriate area for the Judicial Department to initiate action in our amendments, remove the council then from the process. It goes to the Judicial Department and Supreme Court for study and whatever action then should follow.
Okay, and you have, Judge, do you have any comment on that? You concur with those?
I concur with that. Sounds fine, Mr. Chairman.
Fine. Ms. Taylor?
Sure, just one question, Mr. Watson.
It still makes... Still would contain a provision making the Oregon Criminal Justice Council a permanent agency?
No, it would not.
No, you're taking that out?
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Okay, Chair, entertain a motion to amend House Bill 2555. Those are some amendments provided by the OJOP. They're dated. They are dated. March 24th, 87. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we'd have to have those put in LC form, but. Chair will entertain that motion.
So moved.
Representative Springer moves the amendments to House Bill 2555 as contained and proposed by the Jail Overcrowding Project on a form they have dated March 24th, 87. Put that in the LC form. Any objections to the amendments? Now, if that's so ordered, give a motion on the main bill.
Move the bill as amended to the full committee.
Representative Springer moves House Bill 2552 to the full committee with amended with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Springer?
Aye.
Bruton?
Aye. Let's go to... I think everybody who is on here for the 2556 and 2715, or 2553 and 2517, I believe, are the two dealing with sentence guidelines. I think everybody's here for that. Let's go to those while we're waiting yet for Mr. Leonard to show up. So. If the proponents of those bills want to come up again, it'll be, we'll move to 2715 and 2553.
Mr. Chairman, Jack Beatty, Vice Chair of Criminal Justice Council, you have before you on House Bill 2715, a letter which I addressed to the chairman, reporting that In accordance with your instructions to us, we have reached agreement on some amendments to 2715, which in effect pick up a number of things which the jail overcrowding project were interested in, and which in the form in which they have, are written in the LC amendments leave us, I think, with a structure for developing guidelines which is workable. In particular, the one of the principal questions that we, primary question we had difficulty with, was the problem of dealing with misdemeanor guidelines. The jail overcrowding project was concerned with that. We were concerned with getting the felony guidelines in place before we tangled with the misdemeanor guidelines, and our we think the solution in the proposed amendments provides that we'll make a preliminary report on how we think misdemeanor guidelines can best be approached and handled, and what their scope will be in the course of our work in developing sentencing guidelines, if that is approved, and that in the following biennium, the 89-91 biennium, we will deal with the problem of developing misdemeanor guidelines in a form that appears to be appropriate and workable. And so, Mr. Chairman, I would recommend the that the LC amendments be approved to the bill. Mr. Watson may have some additional comments on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The jail overcrowding project met following several discussions between the Legislative Committee of the Jail Project and a similar group from the Council, and have arrived at agreement on the amendments that the Council has presented to you today.
Just a, those are the question of misdemeanors is contained in Section 8 now
Section
of the
eight.
Proposed amendments on page 3.
Yes.
The question here for the committee, the and actually there what you have is in House Bill 2353 and House Bill 2715 both deal with establishing sentencing guidelines or asking sentencing guidelines to be established, and one said felonies only, the other one said misdemeanors and felonies, and we got them together, and that's the outcome of 2715. If we pass 2715 as amended, we would not need to deal with 2553.
Yeah.
The other question was the on this particular bill was a definition, not a definition, but a statement of purpose and goal, and perhaps both of you would just comment on that. I think we came to some conclusions on that one as well. We're just maintaining the language in 2715.
Well, we tried to finesse that a bit in working through it, Mr. Chairman. If you will look on the proposed amendments, the LC amendments, you'll see that in section, about halfway down the page, subsection 2, it says that in developing sentencing guidelines, the Council shall take into consideration, A, the primary function of sentencing in this state is to punish each criminal offender appropriately and to ensure the security of the public in person and property. Then in B, we have covered the factors which described factors which appear to be appropriate, relevant to how you define appropriate sentencing, which gives us enough breadth to deal with the entire scope of sentencing. And I think that has tended to accomplish the accommodation between the two bills.
Yes, we're satisfied.
Good. Well, I appreciate your coming to those conclusions and accommodation. Chairman, entertain a motion to adopt the amendments to House Bill 2715, which are 2715-1, LC 2357. Representative Baumann.
So moved.
Representative Baumann moves those amendments. Any discussion on the amendments? Are there any objections to the amendments? Not sure to entertain a motion on the to send House Bill 2715 as amended to the full committee. The do pass recommendation.
And I will so move.
Mrs. Ballin moves House Bill 2715 to the full committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the bill as amended? If not, clerk call roll.
Bowman?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Springer?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye. Thank you very much, Ellen. Appreciate that. I think we'll just set 2553 aside. Or somebody wants to really go through it. And let's take a 5-minute recess.
We're going to have caucus.
Oh, we're going to have to caucus here anyway, so.
I think the earliest we'll be back is 4:30, maybe if we can be excused from floor session. It's possible we may be excused from earlier floor sessions at 4. We'll ask for that. I'll approach the speaker.
Likely to be a call on one of the bills.
There'll be a call on that 179.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
We don't need to call.
As far as work session, we've got... which ones are left here? 2550, 2551, and so we'll have to recess with the hope of coming back, and we'll try to get out of as we can. So, luck to all of us.